Welcome, I'm Father Mitch Paco, and welcome to EWTN Live, where we bring you guests from around the world. Tonight, we want to discuss how we can practice one of the very important corporal works of mercy, mentioned by Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 and following, namely, visiting people in prison. Now, few inmates are completely unchanged or unscathed by their time in prison. They experience a lot of disconnection from their families. Certainly loss of autonomy, lots of boredom, and lack of purpose, as well as the unpredictability of certain aspects of their surroundings. But for the past 25 years, a dedicated group of individuals have come together through the work of Colby Prison Ministries to bring the love of Jesus Christ to thousands of prisoners, beginning in Texas, but now in several other states as well. Here to tell us more about this ministry to the inmates, please welcome Kathleen McDonald-Tong and Jeremy Itz. Kathleen, welcome. Good
Thank
to have you
guys.
Here. Jeremy?
Thank you.
You know, I don't know you so well, Kathleen, but Jeremy and I have been friends for a long time. You know, he and I have hunted together for a lot of years, and he's been pushing me to go to the prisons and brought me with him a number of times, and I've done retreat and other masses and other things, and I love that work very much. And you have been going to a men's prison primarily, correct?
Right.
Which one is it?
It's the Conley unit in Kennedy, Texas, maximum security prison.
Yeah. Wait, is that named after the old governor, John Conley, the one that was shot with President Kennedy?
John B. Conley.
Yeah. And you know, that was the first prison?
We ever went into that we started in, yes.
Yes. And that was about 25 years already?
Yeah, it wasn't quite 25. It was like 14 years ago.
14 years there.
2009, okay. Yeah.
So. And when you think about the Colby Prison Ministry, first of all, how many prisons are you in right now? That let you get into?
Probably, we've got a rough number of about 60 prisons that we're in working in right now with Colby Prison Ministries, whether it's doing retreats or and also doing catechesis, RCIA programs, and getting more men involved in the prisons to help us work in the prisons, to educate them and to help them, you know, find the Lord, you know, so it's just...
What, you know, this has been a very successful program. It's not only that the inmates who appreciate it, but so do the wardens in some of the prisons. Not all, but most of the prisons, the wardens are pretty happy. What would you see, Kathleen, as the key to the success of Colby Prison Ministries?
Well, one of the criteria that we have anytime we're going to establish a retreat in there is that we have ongoing faith formation, either existing or follow-up after we've been there, so that once you draw the men out and into, or the women, into that conversion experience, that you don't just leave them hanging, that you have somewhere to take that. So in some of the prisons, we have the opportunity to go into, say, an apologetics class. From there, they can determine if they're interested in going further into the Catholic faith and prepare for sacraments. But that's not the checkbox. It's the point to where they're starting their journey. So we continue on with opportunities like at an advanced apologetics class or Fulton Sheen class or Catholic life skills. And even after that, when you start seeing that hunger develop in the individual, you really want to nurture it. So in our particular unit, we can offer a facilitator's training class. That means these men are now really learning how to be in front of their peer group and introduce the faith and help them on that journey. So they aren't just dropped and figuring out something else to do. They actually have that job and they can do that. So I think that's really what makes it successful.
I think too, something that's very important, you mentioned apologetics. Mm-hmm. It would be a false impression of the prison to think that all the inmates are indifferent to religion. They're not. They're very interested in religion, and they are aware of a lot of the points of difference with the other religions. And they, one thing that strikes me is they want to know what's true about religion because it's true, not just because I like you. And you've been doing this a good long time, Jeremy. Have you seen this that as well? That sense of the prisoners really caring about whether these things are true or not?
Yeah, no, I mean, once we go in, I mean, you know, a lot of times it's just a matter of being there for them and bringing Christ's love to them. And just to, like Kathleen says, when we come back, we don't just go there. And like we do retreats, and these retreats are built off of the Curseal movement years ago. And we do the retreats to get this kind of go in and organize retreats within the prison system that makes it work, that we can once we get the warden and the chaplains and everybody on board with us, then we line up the men for us, and we organize a retreat that we've designed to do in the prisons. And once we do those retreats in the prisons, we go in for 3 days working these retreats. We go in and out in the morning, and even we don't stay there, but we do go at 6 o'clock in the morning and come back, leave it like 5 or 6 o'clock in the evenings, and then we do the three-day retreats. Mm-hmm. But the main thing is we take all faiths, whether it's whatever faith, we have atheists and everything coming in. And once you come in there and as a Catholic, we have so much to give. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the fullness of God's gift to them.
And I'd like to show one of the video clips from the Conley unit, which is the first one I also went to with you, mm-hmm. Jeremy. This is with an inmate, Derek Pena, and he wants to talk about how he experienced Colby Ministries. Let's take a look at that.
Colby Prison Ministry is basically the mother of all the ministry that goes on in the prison system here in Texas. So here on the Connolly unit specifically, Colby Prison Ministry, I think, started here. We have so many different programs, masses, communion services, adoration, RCIA programming, RCIA 1, 2, 3. We have Spanish RCIA, apologetics classes. And so everything that we have is basically built upon Colby Ministries' work here. You know, we wouldn't have anything without them.
Yeah, and they really do have a lot. It's one of the things that I saw when I gave a retreat earlier this year at the Ferguson unit, mm-hmm. is that, and also at a couple other units, Stiles out near Beaumont, same thing. The wardens are letting people who've been through these retreats and who are committed Christians, not all Catholic, but a lot of them are Catholic, live in dormitories for committed faith-based dorms. How is that working out?
Well, that is actually a different component, and that is done by the state. They identify what units can offer that. And there's different levels. Ferguson is a little bit more comprehensive in what they can offer.
Yes, certain. That's right.
But I think for the most part, sometimes it's like a short-term commitment. So when they go in, they have to be pretty committed to living that life and mm-hmm. studying and doing all that. And it sets them up for success down the road. If there's other faith-based programs that are offered, they can participate in it. But it also causes a lot of pressure to live the correct life. You aren't just going in to get these extra benefits kind of thing. You have to be serious.
Yeah, yeah. They you know, you can be, if you don't act in a way that's consistent with those some of those Christian values and ideals, you can be removed from the unit, correct?
Or definitely removed from faith-based dorms and change your classification sometimes. It just depends.
Yeah, yeah. And even at Ferguson, as you said, it's more developed. They have, all prisons have segregation units where guys who cannot really get along so well for a variety of reasons, you know, oftentimes mental issues and a variety of other issues, they are segregated, but they even have a faith-based segregation unit that those guys who get very little human contact, I mean, I'll never forget, in given that retreat there, the inmates could put their little finger through the wire that covers the bars, and they could, you could shake their finger. That's as much human contact as they might get in a month or two. And, you know, but they also find that it's better for them to be in a Christian seg unit.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, yeah. As difficult as that is. I remember, too, Jeremy, early on, you told me about a couple inmates who were in for life. And they had a conversion. And they both decided to learn Latin and Greek through courses online. And they started teaching Bible studies themselves. Do many guys start doing this kind of work in the prison themselves?
There's a lot. What they do in the state of Texas is if they got a long-term, you know, sentence or something, they sometimes the chaplain or normally the chaplain has to approve it, that a person, if they want to send him, there's a Baptist seminary that they can send these young men if they feel their hearts in it. And it doesn't matter what faith they are, if they're Catholic, whatever faith they come from, background, they send them to the Darrington unit to, they call them field ministers once they come out, but they actually go through a four-year theology class. And then once they graduate from there, they end up being put into other prisons, and then they can roam amongst the prisons and to work with inmates, you know, in segregation, whatever. If let's say somebody says, the guy's back there, he's fixing to commit suicide, they send their field ministers in to work with them and to try to calm them down and pray with them and everything else. So we have a lot of field ministers, and a lot of them, since the Kobe Prison Ministries has been in there, we've had a lot of them starting to become Catholics, but you know, we're always.
And one of the issues you and I had discussed is that of suicide. There's a lot of suicides in many of the prisons. Talk a little bit about what you can do with that.
That's one of the really big roles for the chaplain as well as the field ministers. When we find out there's someone in danger of self-harm, it can be any number of things that contribute to it. They begin to check on them, wellness checks and things like that, or it could be a loss of a child, or it could be anything that triggers that.
Your mother dying?
Sometimes it's even to that level.
Yeah, yeah.
And what the field nurse role or the chaplain's role or any of our roles when we're assigned that pastorally, to go in repetitively, check in on them, help draw them back into the hope of eternal life. And many of them are of a particular faith, whether they practice it or not. They're always very respond very quickly to that touch, to the voice, to everything, to say, you know what, there's something better, everything's going to be okay. But sometimes we don't get to them in time.
I know. We have a video clip from Robert Hernandez, one of the inmates.
Field minister.
He's a field minister. Great. Talking just about this. Let's take a look at that.
There's a lot of forgotten people in this war. And here, the biggest enemy that we fight right now is the demon of suicide. He's oppressing people. We just had a couple successful suicides earlier and this year, and is the demon of suicide that makes us think we're alone, but we're not alone. So that's why the significance of importance of them answering the call, of them answering the call to come into prison to share the faith. People need to see that there's people in society who don't see them as lepers, as outcasts, right? That they would come in and share the faith and contribute whatever gift God has given them to contribute to the body. Every one of us has a gift.
I remember going to the Stiles unit to do a Christmas special a couple years ago now. And the warden, came to me and thanked me. I mean, I've never been there before, but he was thanking all of you, mm-hmm. Through me. And he said, I can't tell you how important it is. Suicides have gone down from once a week to almost none. And, because of the ministry, it's what you say. If you understand that there's eternal life, and if you think the consequences from a human judge that puts you in this prison, which is, not nice. Mm-hmm. These are not country club prisons, are they?
They are not.
Do you ever go into a country club prison?
No.
You see, some people get the idea that there's, a spa or so. No, these prisons, they're not nice places. Maybe criminal politicians go to something nicer, but not here. And to let them know if this is what happens when a human judge, catches you and gives you consequences for your bad behavior, how much more is it going to be in, eternal life, one way or the other? I mean, they realize there's the long-term consequences because they start to have faith, and that's important.
Yeah. It provides hope. A lot of times they're looking anyway, mm-hmm. but when you acknowledge it and you help them recognize they have gifts to share with their brothers, mm-hmm. they have gifts to share in how they lead and things like that, whether or not Rob alluded to them being treated as lepers, and if you think about the way Mother Teresa addressed lepers and really made them have dignity of face and dignified deaths and stuff like that, it changes who a human person is, and you're really trying to convince them you were made in the image of God. Now let me help you restore what you believe you are. Because they are fighting that demon.
And part of it, too, that I see in, for instance, when I went into the Ferguson unit for the retreat, there were, about 30, 35 guys with us, on the team?
Team members, yeah, there's probably 35, maybe even more, because we had some in the main show, and then we had some in segregation. They televised the stuff.
Yeah, we kept going back, and, mm-hmm. I was going back and forth hearing confessions in the segregation mm-hmm. unit and counseling there as well as doing in the main room. Mm-hmm. But, with all those guys there, one of the keys of the ministry is just like Jesus said in Matthew 25, when he did it to the least of my brethren, did it to me. They see Jesus in these guys and help the prisoners see Jesus in each other. That's one of the things I could see in the group discussions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, normally segregation, I think that it all hinges off of the warden. And, some wardens don't want anything to do with it, but we have wardens calling us after we do retreats and other areas find out, we'll have a warden leave one prison to the next and they'll call us and say, I want you to bring these retreats into this prison. Because he says, I had a warden tell me, I try to tell him, well, warden, it does this and this. And he says, Jeremy, you don't have to tell me. He says, I know what happens around here when y'all come in. Mm-hmm. So he says, I know the effect of the takedowns, the fights, and everything else. It starts calming down. When you bring the Eucharist into a prison and pray the rosary, things start changing.
Well, that was, you know, again, on the retreat, the Blessed Sacrament is present in that chapel. And somebody, one member of the team at least, and oftentimes one of the inmates, is in adoration before Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament through the whole retreat. I mean, it's not like that. This is all us. Mm-hmm. I mean, a key part of Colby Ministries that I heard from y'all from the beginning was this is about what Jesus is doing, and we're just trying to get with his program. But that's important. And I think this is something that has a big effect on the inmates. But I want to show another one of the clips that you brought with you. From Robert Hernandez, because the effect of the retreat is not only to get forgiven, but to realize I did wrong. They're not saying, "Oh, I deserve to do that." No, that Christ helps them realize what they did was wrong, mm-hmm. and they want to do restitution. Let's listen to Robert Hernandez talk about the importance of faith and forgiveness.
In prison, there is a great desire for restitution. Like, I would give anything in the world to bring back my victim. I would give anything to do that. But I can't do that. So the only thing that I can do restitution, right, would be to help others not do what I did when they go out there. When most people leave prison, they come back one more time. If they come back, the recidivism, that's what the stats say, right? They come back with more time and it's aggravated time, meaning they harmed someone. So for us in here, we're extremely remorseful for what we did. Like, we lose sleep behind that. Some of us get psychological issues. We had to go through the MHMR, right? Seeking antidepressants or whatever. What we did, the trauma we did, not just to our victims, the families, but to our families. So it's how do we fix that? And it's through for us, it's faith. If a man doesn't have faith to see that, to understand one, what forgiveness is, that we need to be forgiven, right? And to see what Christ gave us through his reconciliation on the cross, understand what forgiveness really truly looks like. And how can we impart that to someone else? We have the greatest example in that, what the Lord did for every single one of us.
You can tell that it's not just, "Oh, now I'm forgiven, I'm just scot-free." No, they understand the impact of what they've done to lots of people. One of the other things that the three of us are well aware of, we've talked about, is that a lot of these men and women in prison, because the women are also tough. They come from tough backgrounds. Almost, you know, a huge percentage, if not a big majority, of the men and women have been sexually abused. That's very common. The 80 to 85% of them don't even know the dad. The dad was never there, and they don't even know his name oftentimes. Mm-hmm. And they had no chance to ever hear about faith in the chaotic, unstructured world they were thrust into as babies. How does that play out for the way the ministry works?
Well, from the perspective of a volunteer who goes in, you aren't really focused on what the other side of the story is. Mm-hmm. You're seeing the personality that has gone through and mm-hmm. weathered the storm, and now this is their penance, this is their new life, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Once you start breaking down barriers and really just taking an interest in that individual soul, you'll be surprised how much you can gain from what kind of wounds they have. And when you start seeing that woundedness and you start realizing there's other components, it changes. You try not to ever judge. Like, I don't go in and I have access to everything that they've done. And I choose not to read that. Mm-hmm. Because It's history. And I feel like my job is to start where they are and move them forward. But when you start hearing some of the tragedy in their lives, and you use the word abuse, I don't even know if that's strong enough sometimes.
Yeah.
But you now
torment
see
is often the case.
Oh, yeah. And you now see a soul that is searching for acceptance and a desire to, you see that innate working of God in them. Mm-hmm. And then that's your cue to say, you know what, let me put your hand on your shoulder and touch them. They aren't used to that. They don't, like you said, they get the finger touch.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't get any of it.
No.
So just even a smile every day walking in, I don't care how bad your day is, it changes you.
Yeah.
And they change you by that. So obviously when you're driving home, you have a transfigured heart.
One of the things you said to me, Jeremy, the first time I went into the Connolly unit is you told me, don't ask what they did wrong. I wasn't planning on it. You know, I don't start off, that's not my starting point, but I think that indicates the mentality of all the volunteers. They don't go in there saying, well, how'd you get in here? No, we don't ask about that. That's not part of it. It's rather just engaging them right now where they are and bringing them closer to Christ.
I think a lot of times when we start and we go into the units, you know, you start to look at these guys and you start, like you said a while ago, you realize that was 80 to 85% couldn't tell you who their dad was, mm-hmm. or don't know, or if they're, a lot of them talk about their stepfather that abused them one way or another, because there's just such, you know, upbringing is so critical. The father role model is missing,
yep.
And the whole family is disrupted. So all of a sudden now, what do you got with a kid? So you got a kid that hits the streets looking for a family to be with, and where do they end up? They end up in the gangs, and they don't, that's the only love that they might even find, whether it's with
as close to love as they ever know.
Right, and they really don't know love. They, mm-hmm. they're abused, their mothers are working, and and one of the things is if we can go in there and we spend time with these guys, you know, the thing that starts to move them is when we keep coming back. We keep coming back. We don't just come over there and say, oh, you need to accept Jesus, here's the Bible, and leave. We have to come back as servants to them and to give them love. And that's what moves anybody, is to continue to come back.
One of the things that's very striking at the start of the day, because again, we have to get there at 6 a.m. because it takes us a while to go through all the security. We can't bring in anything like even watches that are phones or any, no phones, no wallets, none. So it's very limited what you can bring in, your identification, and you leave that with a guard. So we have to do that. But then when we do go into the chapel, the inmates are brought in by the guards, and there's two lines of the volunteers. And as they start walking in, every volunteer hugs every inmate as he walks in. And you just see them melt by the time they get to the end of the line. They're smiling because they can't help it. That all these people are just, they're not hugging them in some way that's lustful to, you know, steal emotion from them, but just showing them affection.
You know,
and that's very powerful.
The one thing I just tell people, I said, some people, well, I don't want to go into prison. And I think our minds have been, you know, set up watching television, because they're going to show you the worst of the worst thing, the fights or the gangs or something in a prison. Well, and they do happen in their areas. But where we work, and normally, like I say, these you get in there with these guys, and it just if you come in there with your love, and I guarantee you it changes their life, the hugs and just being open with them. Sometimes if you're open with them and return, and like you say, the hugs, and you drop down your guard, and you're there, and you don't look at them. But one of the things you realize is when you sit there and you look at these guys and you say, what do you do? Well, I was a sheetrocker in the world. What do you do? Well, I was a floor layer. These guys that you're working around all over town, the concrete guys and everything else. Well, they do drugs, they get into this or that, alcohol, you know, DWIs, and their way.
It just spirals out of control.
They're starving. So we're working with these guys outside. So when we go into the prison, a lot of times we see these same guys in there. So I ran into guys that I had worked outside. Yeah. Just not by that I knew, but by accident. I walk in and the guy says, "You told me I was going to be in prison if I keep up what I was doing." And sure enough, he walked up and said, "You're right."
Yeah.
So
we have to take a little break, but I want to let people know, if you hear our Lord Jesus speaking to your heart that he wants you to find him in people in prison, you can contact ColbyPrisonMinistries.org. So that's one word, ColbyPrisonMinistries.org. Go there on their website and see a lot of other great things over there. We're just barely touching some of the cool stuff that happens in the prisons. But this is where our Lord is calling a lot of you to get involved and meet these really, I like the inmates. I really enjoy them. They're really fun to talk to. And so it's a good ministry and very upbuilding for us. Mm-hmm. So we'll do that. Now we'll take a break. I'm going to come back and get some of your questions and your comments. So please stay with us. Welcome back. We are talking to Catherine McDonald-Tong and Jeremy Itz, who are working in Colby Prison Ministry. They started it in the Republic of Texas, and now it's starting to go to other states as well. You ready for some questions?
Sure.
Let's giddy up. Start off with Steve. Steve, where are you calling from?
Oregon.
Oh, great. Good. And your question?
Yes, Father. I will say, does the prison ministry minister to those in death row or those who have life in prison without parole?
Yeah.
Yep. Now we have, in the Texas, we have the Polunsky unit holds the death row people. And there's a group from Beaumont that goes in that unit and works. And now there's several areas where they do go. Some of the priests and some of the lay people go into death row, so... I mean, in fact, one of the field ministers that I was talking about earlier that went, they took him off of death row and he went to become a field minister. But at one time he was on death row mm-hmm. for murder. So
you also told me a story about a bishop who went and met a prisoner in death row that had never been baptized. Tell us about that.
The way it was conveyed to me is that he had been brought there by someone else that works and volunteers for death row and was introducing him. And I think that he decided at the very last minute that he wanted to be baptized. And so
And by last minute, like the day before he was executed.
I can't say exactly,
yeah,
but
real close.
He goes and asks the officer for a bottle of water. And he took the bottle of water and the bishop baptized him right then. On the spot. So it was pretty cool.
And in fact, the Archbishop of San Antonio,
yes.
In whose diocese the Connolly unit is found, has gone into the prison to do baptisms and confirmations of the inmates, correct?
That's right. Yeah. They're showing the image right now.
And, oh, yeah. Yeah, there he is.
And that's him baptizing one of our, we had 17 in that session.
Yeah, and he's done that more than once. He's come that a number of times. He's very committed
supportive.
to and supportive of that. And other bishops are as well. The Bishop of Beaumont is very
All the bishops in San Antonio are involved in the prison ministries with us.
Yeah, because you have some auxiliary bishops in San Antonio as well. And, you know, the bishops in other parts of Texas have also been involved. It really makes a difference when the bishop shows up, to the prisoners. And it's great to have them working with you there in Texas. Bishop of San Angelo.
Oh, Bishop Sis.
Yeah, Bishop Sis. He's involved, and he's involved in great guys.
We're involved in about four or five prisons in that diocese there. Yeah. So we just got finished with a couple of them. So
yeah. And Beaumont and Tyler have a lot of prisons, so that's very important to be there. We have a question from our studio audience. Ma'am, where are you from?
Corpus Christi, Texas.
Somebody else from the Republic, dagnabbit. It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
And what is your question?
If I was interested in joining your group or learning more about it, the Colby, what kind of qualifications would I need to even come close to joining?
I mean, I don't know that you can say it's something we join, you know, just getting involved in the prison ministries. I mean, we have, in Corpus Christi, we have active guys that are working in the Beeville unit, which mm-hmm. is in Corpus Christi, mm-hmm. Going in and doing catechesis and stuff like that and doing retreats and stuff. So actually, I've worked in that unit before too myself. So, it's just getting a hold of us and knowing when retreats are going on and where can they get involved. You know, there's a lot of, like Kathleen and all of us are on the board, so people can get a hold of us. So
But you need some kind of a doctorate or a master's degree to get involved in this?
Love.
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 Love Jesus?
Big arms.
Love other people?
No, I don't recommend women to go in and hug the men, but we as men go in to embrace them a hug, you know, to show our love to them and, you know, just to.
But see, there's also a lot of room for more women to get involved in the women units.
Or in the men's.
In the men's, too. You work in the men's, but I remember when I was over there, there weren't as many women going into the women's units that we had guys. There's a need for women to be available. I mean, guys go into the women's units too, but there is something else about, you know, women being able to understand other ladies, and that's kind of an important ministry as well.
And I think more to her question, one of the best things for anybody, whether you're in Texas or not, is to go to the website of your Department of Corrections. Check out volunteer services and see what they require, first of all, for you to even be a volunteer.
Right. There are some state issues.
And then from there, I would connect with the parish that oversees that unit and talk to that priest and ask if you can accompany him the next time he goes into the unit. And what better way to do it than start with Mass? And then you can see if that's your fit. There may be a gift that they need that you can do from outside. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to support prison ministry on the inside. There's so much need on the outside. So I think that from the volunteer perspective, there's a little bit of homework to be done, but it's just the grassroots. And from there, you'll figure out where God's going to use your talents and gifts.
Yeah.
I think somebody needs to just go ahead and get somebody to go in the unit or get involved with us. They can go in with us on the retreats and get, if you're in the areas where we're doing retreats, find the people or call us and see where we got units. Maybe we can connect them and get them into the units because we know who's working those units.
We'll put information up again later on about ColbyPrisonMinistries.org. Mm-hmm. People can take a look there and see. And, folks from Colby, if somebody from another state besides Texas is interested in starting it, you know, they can contact ColbyPrisonMinistries.org and find out, you know, how can I get it started in my state? And again, you have to go with the state authorities and their regulations. That varies from state to state, of course, but, you know, you want to do that and help spread the gospel. Ma'am, where are you from?
Long Island, New York.
Good to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you.
And what is your question?
So I know as part of your ministry, a lot of volunteers will write inmates letters, and I would like to know how to start that in my area.
You want me to go with that?
Yeah.
So I would tell her that if you go on the website for that Department of Corrections, they'll give you instructions on letter writing. And then there's also probably some community support already doing that. There's an organization called Pen Pal, and they do a lot of the inmate writings and things like that. Mm-hmm. But you can Google search it or any platform probably and search letter writing for prison inmates. Make sure that you're aware of what the criteria is so that you don't include more personal information than you should. Mm-hmm. And it's a really good way to bring up and lift hope and into the eyes of the other, you know, just professing the gospel to them in the writing is just perfect.
Yeah, and showing them a certain kind of love and affection.
Mm-hmm.
Just that too.
Absolutely.
Thank you. We have another caller. Sister Renee, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the Big Apple, but I was a
Is that Nueva York?
I was a volunteer chaplain in the Cook County Jail for 6 years and the prison chaplain at the Monroe Correctional Complex for 16. And I just want to encourage people to volunteer in prison ministry. It's the most rewarding ministry you'd ever be involved in because these are real people with real problems. And I just think these people are wonderful to spend all that time. But some people may only want to go in for an hour or two for a program. So there's volunteer needs of all types, and believe me, the volunteers do decrease the amount of suicides in any jail or prison.
And that is a good thing, correct, sister?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. The impact on the lives of these folks, who again, their families are so compromised. I'm sure you saw it, sister. I know the men and women in Colby. It's like they look to us coming in and being like their dads that they never knew, or moms, you mm-hmm. know. Oftentimes that relationship is very much compromised, if not absent, you know. So these are important things to do. But thanks for calling, sister. Appreciate it.
It changes lives. Thank you.
I'd like to show another video clip. This is from a Stevenson Unit chaplain.
She's at the Conley Unit, actually.
Yeah, she's what?
She's at the Conley
Unit. Oh, Conley. She's at Conley. Deborah Achimugu, originally from Nigeria, I believe. And she's doing volunteer work in prison ministry.
She's the chaplain for Conley Unit.
She's the chaplain?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's take a look at what she had to say.
The volunteers have, for my personal discussion with them, I have seen volunteers that have been on the unit for 20 years, 25 years, and I've asked them many times, why are you still here? And the word I get from them is because it's all I see is love and hope. And I can see a place I can give, and I can also receive. Because as they give to the inmate, they receive blessings from the inmate in the place of prayer, and they also learn from the inmates. And so I want to encourage as many volunteers to walk on this path just the way I walked. There was a time I was fearful like that. But for me, I don't think the prison ministry is something I will ever stop till I leave this world. Mm-hmm. It's a lifetime thing for me, the prison ministry. It's amazing. And so we encourage volunteers. We need more volunteers, and we encourage volunteers to develop that confidence and boldness that the prison is a safe place. It's not a dangerous place. We've been in it and we're still alive and we're moving forward. And the volunteers that have been coming, they never stop coming. They keep coming, they keep loving, and they enjoy it. We have volunteers that are 90 years and they come to prison, even in their frail state, and nothing has happened to them. How much more? So we want to welcome volunteers of any age. Come around, even if you're 90, 95, even if you're 20, 24, it's a safe place for us. And we don't have guns in the prison shooting anybody here. The Walmart is not as safe as prison. So it's a beautiful place. We have a huge, beautiful community here. So I want to encourage volunteers to please catch the vision, because Jesus said, when I was in prison, you came to me. God has called everybody to go to the prison and be a source of hope for the men and women in prison.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And she's the full-time chaplain at that prison?
Her and her husband.
She and her husband both. Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm. And so this is, again, not something that's just, you know, fluff. I mean, this is lived reality for her as well as it is for y'all. And, you know, one of the things, too, is that you've been doing this enough. I know I've talked to Jeremy about it more than I have to you, but there's also concern for what happens when they get out of prison. A lot of the guys do come out, and you know, folks in Colby are also trying to work with them. They go to sometimes halfway houses and things like that, but continuing development for them as they enter the free world is something that's also very important, is it not?
So to support that effort, and it's becoming more prevalent, for example, there's what's called the Dominican Lay Program.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's another formation that we offer in our unit, and they're spreading in other states as well. And the process for going through all of that, it's not just an academic exercise, mm-hmm. It's truly a formation. So they'll begin with an inquiry period. And depending on how they do, and how they respond to questions and do their homework, then they'll be prepared for their first candidacy. And after that, they still are working forward. They'll go in to take temporary vows. And then once they complete that, they take a permanent vow. Mm-hmm. And the key benefit, I feel like, after that formation, and that's years, not just a couple months, not just a checkbox, when they come out, they have a parish that is the provincial parish for that diocese that will surround them, welcome them, and be responsible, you know, as far as making sure they're taken care of, and they have a purpose to go forward. They aren't just going out into the free world. They actually have a home and a parish to go to. Mm-hmm. And that's what really needs to happen every time. And it doesn't. So this is one organized way to get it done.
Yeah, and this is, so folks may not be familiar, but a number of the orders, like the Benedictines, Franciscans, Carmelites, and Dominicans, have what's called, it used to be called a third order, but now they call it lay mm-hmm. Benedictines, lay Carmelites, lay Dominicans. Lay Franciscans, that they share in the spirituality of that particular order.
Right.
And they, the Dominicans are especially strong in the prisons. Other groups do other places, but the Dominicans are getting this done in the prisons, and that's having a positive effect.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say, the Benedictines are also doing a bold work as well, and they typically do it through correspondence and writing mm-hmm. to many, many different inmates that are interested. So they all accomplish the purpose of giving a direction and a home for the men to have. You know,
this is a Dominican order right there.
Yeah.
Picture
of a number of the men who not only belong to the lay Dominicans, they even have white uniforms.
They're all angels.
Yeah. But it's important because what you said, then a parish welcomes them
right.
into a parish home. And, you know, these guys still have the same broken families they had before they went into prison. That hasn't changed. Their families haven't improved, usually. And so having a church family to welcome them in is another aspect of the antidote to the chaos that their lives became without their parents being there for them.
True. One of the things that you've touched on that makes me think about it is when there's a lot of men that have a lot of children and grandchildren, and they're trying to raise them in the church from inside the unit. And so one of the benefits that I've actually seen through the RCIA is if they're married and they're still keeping their marriage intact, the spouse will start RCIA in the free world and come into the church. And the next thing you know, they're both able to help their children focus, you know, or be formed into a relationship with Christ. And I think that's a recipe for success.
Yes.
And so if we can continue to bolster that kind of energy and desire inside of the guys to continue to raise their children with the Catholic or, you know, I guess the sacramental life, then I think that that'll also make sure when they do come out, the children are still with the family. It brings the family back
into
intact.
Some of these guys might never get out.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, and they become, a lot of them, what's going on is now you're starting to almost bring a cloistered group of men praying. You know, I mean, they become like a monastery with inside that prison, and that's what's growing. And this is not the only prison that has it. It's starting to come up with more and more men becoming part of that, house of prayer within that prison, monastery type.
This was something that you had said to me the first time I went to the Connolly unit, that our goal is to turn these prisons into monasteries.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard the warden at Stiles make that comparison. It's like a monastery in there.
Yeah.
You know, that people are much more the inmates are much more respectful of each other, and they have their tensions and things like that, but that's true in monasteries. So
that's true in the free world.
Yeah, right. So, but they really have a way to work through it, and that's a positive thing. And I think something else to draw from all this, for folks who are out here and in the free world, especially men, but women too. You see, when you go to prison, what the breakdown of family does to a significant portion of our population. Meanwhile, we have foolish people saying, well, family is whatever you want it to be. That is folly. Try not to make yourself stupid with ridiculous theories, but deal with loving your families, being with them, and making and committing yourself to your spouse, the parent of your children, and to your children. That's a decision so that they don't end up in these terrible situations.
I had a guy that I just came off a retreat, and he worked with me, and told me he was an ex-Satanist. He was a Satanist.
Yeah.
And one of the other guys was a Satanist, was in there working, because I was working the kitchen at the time, getting the food ready. And I started, he was a young man. I said, well,
we only have a couple seconds, so what about him?
He was a young man, and I finally said, he got rid of the Satanist books and everything else. And finally I said, look, I want to take you into the Adoration Chapel with me and teach you how to pray the rosary.
Cool. I see, again, these are possibilities. But one possibility is that we don't have more time.
Okay.
We're out. So it's ColbyPrisonMinistries.org. Go there and find out more what you can do. And may the Lord bless you and all of our friends in prison and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And again, we ask you to keep us in between your gas bill, electric bill, and cable bill, and we'll keep on bringing more shows like this to inform you about it so that we can pay our bills too to show them to you. God bless you and thank you.